The Gratitude Podcast, episode 75.
But it wasn't until I started to understand what Brother David Stondorast says, that it isn't happiness that makes you grateful, it's gratefulness that makes you happy. It wasn't until I started to understand that this was a practice not actually necessarily linked to what is good in your life, not actually necessarily linked to what is beautiful or picturesque or convenient, that it is a practice of self-discipline that really doesn't even need things to be going well. When I started to get that, I started to really get gratitude.
Thank you from my heart, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you from my heart, from the bottom of my heart.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with me, I have Tony Powell, author, speaker, wake-up artist, and gratitude maven. Tony is a passionate inquirer about what makes people tick, why relationships work, and how to maintain happiness. Her interest and extensive research into these areas form the basis of her online gratitude class called the Grateful Life Class. Tony has just released her second book called What a Feeling, a surprising and eye-opening book on relationships, one that unexpectedly guys are loving. Her TEDx talk is called The Power of Words. Her varied background includes parenting 5 children and 3 small businesses, designing and managing large events, award-winning filmmaking, and volunteer work with youth. Hi, Tony. Welcome to the Hi. Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
What it doesn't say here, and what I wasn't able to say in the intro, is that you have a great sense of humor. And I believe it's very important for us to have this in order to face life challenges with a smile on our face somehow, right?
I think you're absolutely right. Goodness, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry.
Exactly. There are either tears of joy and of laughter or tears of sorrow. So the first ones are better. All right. So what I firstly wanted to ask you is, what does gratitude mean for you personally?
I'm probably an extraordinarily ungrateful person in my natural state. I'm definitely not your optimist. I am someone who goes through life tending to look for what disaster will come next. And so to have found this really simple way to alter how I experience life, I think it's incredibly precious and exciting. I love the practice of gratitude. I tell everybody I can about it.
Definitely. I can totally relate. And our listeners know by now that this is how I actually begin the intro episode, that my name is Georgian and I'm not a grateful person.
And, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and that's exactly who this podcast is for. So I believe that there are people that are naturally optimistic and grateful, and it's very easy for them to do it. And for other people, we need inspiration. We need for people to help us one way or another, or to help ourselves to get back to gratitude. So, yeah.
I feel sorry for the people who are naturally optimistic and grateful because they're never going to know how wonderful gratitude is.
Yeah.
Because exactly. They just live there in that place and they don't experience the dark as much. So they don't really know how lucky it is to be in the light.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, we have a wider range of emotions. We certainly appreciate when we can be grateful, and when we have reasons to be grateful, we definitely appreciate it much more, most probably.
Yeah, I do think so. I do think so. Yeah. I'm actually quite talented at anxiety. I'm especially talented.
Yeah. How do you do that?
I've just honed that skill all my life. I'm very good at it.
Practicing, right? All your life being practicing and, getting better and better. But the beautiful part is that we can practice gratitude and get better and better at it as well, right?
That is true. I've been, I did a lot of research on gratitude because I was working on a documentary. So I went around, over to the States, because I'm in Australia, and to Canada, and interviewed people in Australia as well. We're interviewing many of the world leaders like Mata Ricard and various researchers. And one of the things that I found on that journey, firstly, it was so exciting for me to have come from a place where I didn't really know people who were into gratitude, to find all these people who were into it, but to understand that this was a practice that was studied, but that there were no real long studies on it. So I was speaking to I went to the Greater Good Science Center and talked to some of the people there, and one of the things they said is there aren't really any studies on the long-term effects of gratitude, because what I noticed when I first started practicing gratitude was some really significant changes in depression and happiness and how I handled things. Mm-hmm. But over the years, the more I practiced, then I noticed all these other subtle changes that I didn't notice immediately. Probably it was 18 months before I noticed myself getting a lot kinder. It was probably 2.5 years before I noticed myself really loving me, looking at my image in a mirror, not seeing someone who didn't come up to scratch, seeing someone who was beautiful. Just things were really slow and grew over time. And there aren't really studies on that existing at the moment, but I think it's a fascinating thing how this keeps evolving in your life. It's not just a one-time change.
Exactly, exactly. I love this perspective because I didn't even think about this, and being young and seeing the benefits of shorter term, like a few weeks or a few months, is amazing. And I'm really curious where it can take people and where it can take me. Practicing it for years and years, and indeed the study would be very, very interesting on this.
I do really think I'd love to see a study on this, because I think it's quite profound. I just don't think there is anything as transformative as this practice out there. I think it's the bee's knees, and that was the thing I kept getting, that the people who understood gratitude, and I wasn't only interviewing people who understood gratitude, I was also interviewing neuroscientists, some people like John Medina who'd written Brain Rules. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't only interviewing on gratitude, but when I struck someone who really understood gratitude, especially someone like John Arden, who wrote Rewire Your Brain, I think it's called, he'd been clearly practicing for many, many, many years. He said really profound things like gratitude isn't something you do, it's something you are. Mm. And I could see that in time that that would be the case, that as you practice, it just gets broader and deeper and more almost magical or something. And those people who understood gratitude spoke about it in such superlatives.
Yeah, definitely. It's when you actually live it, it's, I can totally relate. And even though I can't say that I've done this on the long term, like many of the ones you spoke about did, I can totally feel the results already. But do you have a favorite quote on gratitude?
Easy, yeah, I do. And it is the quote that turned things around for me, because I was actually very familiar with gratitude. I'd even hilariously spent a few months writing a comedy short film about gratitude while I was really depressed because I understood it intellectually.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I started to understand what Brother David Steinerast says, that it isn't happiness that makes you grateful, it's gratefulness that makes you happy. It wasn't until I started to understand that this was a practice not actually necessarily linked to what is good in your life, not actually necessarily linked to what is beautiful or picturesque or convenient, that it is a practice of self-discipline that really doesn't even need things to be going well. When I started to get that, I started to really get gratitude.
Yeah, by the way, when was that moment when, so what happened in that moment when you got to actually experience gratitude, not just the concept intellectually, but actually feeling it, actually experiencing it?
I don't remember a particular moment. I do remember that as I started to do this practice, it was a bit like how you get when you fall in love, you know, that, wow, the grass is green, kind of crazy, lightheaded, in love feeling. I remember going through that phase of like, oh, my goodness. And I think that if you're really paying attention to what's going on, you do kind of live in that phase a bit.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't have a particular experience, but it was something that happened in time, right?
Well, I didn't have a particular, like, one moment. I went to a course and I understood about gratitude, and then I went to a course on neuroscience. When I put the two together, that's when things started to change, when I stopped. Because I was depressed, I was looking for things, I was trying to look for things to make me grateful.
Mm-hmm.
What was good in my life, I'd be looking around, but because you're depressed, you can't find anything good.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really see what's going on. When I started to just decide to be grateful and pay attention to anything at all that I could enjoy, even if it was just a colour, just and only for a minute, that's when I started to experience big change, and it was very rapid change.
Yeah, it's wonderful. What I've experienced myself and what I think is interesting is, and why I think a gratitude list or a journal works so well, is because when we get depressed or when we get stressed out, we are stacking negatives one way or another.
Yeah.
And when we do a gratitude list or write in the gratitude journal, we are doing the exact reverse. We are stacking the positives, and we're getting into that habit of stacking the positives. And it is not that the negatives don't exist, but the fact that we give more focus to the positives make us happy and grateful and joyful. And it's the same situation with the negatives, right? Because when we only see the negatives, we're not objective. We're not taking into consideration the whole picture. We're just taking into account those negatives and we're stacking them up.
Well, I think what happens is that your brain responds very obediently to what you tell it to look for, and you've trained it by focusing on the negative. And so that's why I think it appears to be so magical when you start doing something like gratitude is that because you're teaching your brain to scan the world for different information, then all these things appear. They've actually always been there, but they appear to appear. And it appears like suddenly life is getting wonderful, but actually it's been wonderful. You just haven't noticed it.
Exactly. That's fascinating how we actually create our experience from the inside out somehow.
Yeah, we just create the world ourselves. It's a wonderful thing.
So what I also wanted to talk with you about is, what do you do when it's hard to be grateful? Because life isn't always easy, and it's not always easy to see the things that make us grateful. And sometimes we we find it hard to be grateful. What do you do then?
Well, it depends, really. You know, sometimes if somebody's hurt me or I'm something has gone quite bad, then I will be unhappy for a while, and I will deliberately make that choice. I think it is important for us to process information, to process things, to go through hard times, to grieve things, to be angry about things. So I will go through that process. On occasion, I have thought, you know, I just feel like a little bit of self-indulgent depression for a while, and I'll go spend a little bit of my time really feeling sorry for myself. But I know I've got, like previously when I was very depressed and suicidal, I thought I was stuck in something I couldn't control. Mm-hmm. Once I discovered gratitude and changed how my brain processed the world, I realized I had the power to choose how I experienced life. So I'll choose sometimes to be depressed and mournful and grieving and whatever, and then I will decide, okay, now I've had enough of that, and I will choose to go back to enjoying life.
This is great.
I don't always go, oh, I'll just be grateful about that. I don't think that's terribly realistic. I certainly think it's very harmful in terms of telling other people to do that. You know, I would never say to somebody, oh, well, look at how much you've got to be grateful for in the midst of their pain. I think it's very important to experience pain. But pain is not as powerful when you know there's a way out.
Exactly. What I love about what you just said is the fact that we, as human beings, we have a huge range of emotions. And by leaving the so-called negative emotions, we are able to enjoy the positive ones much more. Like if you are courageous enough, let's say, to go to -5 on the scale, you can go to +5 as well. In the past, what I used to do is to get the negative emotions to suppress them as much as possible, so they are like -1 or close to 0 or something. But the negative part was that the positive emotions, so I wasn't able to leave the positive emotions as well. And that's why I believe, and I know from my own experience, that it's better to do, like you said, to leave those negative emotions as well.
I think the practice of gratitude is, do you remember the film The Karate Kid?
Mm-hmm.
And he does a wax on, wax off. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay, there's this film where an old Chinese master tells a young boy he's going to train him to be to do karate. But he gets him polishing cars, waxing the wax on, wax off, put the wax on, put the wax off. And it's this boring, repetitious action that doesn't seem to mean anything to this boy. But later on, when he goes to fight, that is the emotion he uses, that waxing on and waxing off. It's that action. And suddenly he finds out he's strong. I think gratitude's like that. If you have a practice of gratitude that's regular in your life, you actually don't know what you've got until you need it. Then suddenly you're very strong in the situation that you need it for, whereas it may not seem necessarily that this practice is doing all that much some of the time. but it's there when you need it.
Exactly.
And it's created that pathway in your brain that you can get to. But when, like before, when I was depressed, I didn't have alternative pathways to go to. So I couldn't switch out of how I was feeling really easily at all. In fact, I couldn't switch out of it. Once I had a pathway that was different, I could switch as at will. I can go from totally stressed to joy in 30 seconds because I now have that practice that's built a pathway.
Exactly. This is what I always like to tell our listeners, that once you develop this habit, it's so much easier to get back on track. And even though we have valleys, it's much easier to get to the peaks and to enjoy gratitude more often. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that you won't have valleys. It doesn't mean that you won't have periods when you might feel down or depressed or something like this, but the fact that you have the tool there that's always there for you, then that's very powerful.
Yeah.
But do you have a certain experience that you feel that made you into an even more grateful person?
I don't do any of the traditional things that people do with gratitude. Practice journaling, writing lists, any of that. My focus, and I think the more transformative focus, is outward thanking others. I think it's a real focus on other people. So my practice is much more to really focus on the people around me and see what they're bringing into my life, and to be mindful and aware of that, and to be communicating to them my thanks. Because I think gratitude is really, 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 really deeply linked to thanks, and you need someone to thank in order to fulfill that practice.
Definitely. I totally agree. And I like to call this the fact that we are blessed enough to be interdependent, the fact that we can't do everything ourselves, that we need other people, and that's why we can experience gratitude specifically because we need them, because they can do things for us that we cannot do for ourselves. Okay. And that creates actually a beautiful feeling of gratitude, the fact that we're in this together somehow.
Yeah, so I like, you know, texting people on my phone or emailing people or calling them and just telling them something good about themselves that I appreciate. I find that is really helpful for me.
And for them as well.
And for them as well, yeah.
Most probably. So did you have like a very low point? So after you've actually discovered gratitude, that you feel it got you out of that certain situation and back on track?
Oh, absolutely. That's how I got into gratitude, is I was looking for a alternative to antidepressants because I was suicidal. So I was researching ways to get out of the situation I was in. We'd just lost a lot of things, including our business, suffered a public humiliation, all sorts of things had gone wrong very quickly on top of one another, linked to one another, and we kind of lost everything in a very quick period of time, and I just couldn't get back up after that for a long time, and it was gratitude that definitely got me out of that.
Wow, this is powerful, and I think it's so important that we usually look on the outside when it comes to these kinds of situations, and the fact that we have this power with us all the time whenever we need it, I think this is quite a blessing. It's actually priceless.
It is, and it's free. It's amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's incredible, really.
So if you could go back in time, like 10 years ago or 20 years ago, what would you tell your younger self about gratitude?
Oh my God, so many things. I think one of the things I get, like, there's so many things I'd want to say about that. We could talk about that for a really long time. I guess one of the things that is particularly on my mind at the moment is the enormous focus that young girls have that I didn't have because we didn't have all the social media, the extreme focus on how you look.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just being a teenager and in fact all through my life, that being dissatisfied with my body, however it was, or my face or my arms or whatever, always being dissatisfied with how I looked.
Mm-hmm.
Now it must be 100 times worse for these young girls, and that I find heartbreaking, that these girls have got such an enormous amount of pressure to look a certain way and to, you know, have their photos on Facebook. I mean, apparently in the UK, the girls are taking, you know, 5 hours of photos a day or something. It's just
crazy. Oh my God.
So we've got this incredible focus on ourselves. I really just want to say to all these young girls, you are beautiful. Today you are as beautiful as you will ever be. Enjoy it today, because it's downhill, you know. It's a downhill thing. And even how I look today, in 5 years, I wish I looked like I did today. So the time that I spend being dissatisfied with how I look today is such a waste, because at another point in time, it will be how I wish I looked.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And I believe it's the same with other areas in our life.
It's exactly the same with every area. Yeah, sure.
We always think that sometime in the future it's going to be much better, and that we shouldn't appreciate where we are right now. And in fact, when we are in that future, we think about that particular present moment and we think, wow, it was so great at that point.
Yeah. I was unable to fund making the documentary I was working on, so I took all the material and the things I'd learned and all the study I'd done over the years and turned it into workshops. There's one online, but I do them in workplaces and schools and public, all sorts of, so there's workshops. And one of the things I really make a big point of in these workshops is that there are two really good reasons to be happy right now. One, that it's all you've got. But the bigger reason, and to me the really motivating reason, is that if we don't actually learn to be happy with what we've got now, we have failed to learn how to be happy. And it doesn't really matter what we get in the future. Every single dream you have can come true, but you will still not be happy. You have to learn to be happy. And you learn that by choosing to do it now.
Exactly. I love it.
And, yeah, I think it's a really, really important skill to gain, to learn to be happy now, because otherwise you can get every other dream and it won't make any difference to you. And you've all seen it. I mean, we've all seen this. It's very powerful people have this, that and the other, fame, money, power, whatever, and they're miserable.
Exactly. I
having
totally
your dreams come
this.
True will not make you happy.
Yep, because it always looks better when it's just a dream than when you actually get there. Because you get there, I like this quote very much. It's wherever you go, you take yourself with you.
I know. Quite disappointing sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is the truth, actually. And you take yourself with you, with all of your emotions, all of your fears, all of your habits. Because what I believe most people don't know is that beyond just the physical habits, the things that we do on the outside, like the fact that we wake up and we brush our teeth or we drink coffee in the morning or different kinds of habits like this, we have emotional habits as well. And it takes some amount of consciously choosing positive habits, positive emotional habits like gratitude, to actually become grateful consistently and to be happy. And because usually we're not taught this, to live certain emotions, and we usually learn them from our parents, which they weren't taught as well. So how should they know?
Yeah. And these habits have enormous impacts on our relationships.
Yeah.
And we don't understand that we can change that really, really easily. You know, that we don't have to put so much pressure on our relationships by complaining all the time. We don't have to put such, you know, people just say, well, I can't help it, he makes me feel like that. Well, actually, he doesn't make you feel like that. You make you feel like that. Yeah. You know, we have to take responsibility for how we feel, but we're always trying to put it on somebody else.
Yeah, and the beautiful part about responsibility is that if you break it down, it's responsibility, the ability to respond. When you take back the responsibility, you get back the power to do something about it. If you don't get the responsibility, you will be just the victim of the current situation, and it just doesn't, it's not very helpful.
Have you seen Viktor Frankl's quote about that?
I don't know. I've read his book, but I don't know.
He has this amazing quote in Man's Search for Meaning, that, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember the exact quote, about how we really only have control over one thing. There is nothing else we have control over, and that's our response in any given situation.
Exactly.
That there is no other control. And most people don't know they have that control. They just feel like, well, I couldn't help it. I reacted like that. I had no choice. But we have this choice. And gratitude, I think, teaches us to see that choice.
Exactly. And for our listeners that don't know about the book yet, so Viktor Frankl talks about his experience in Auschwitz, in the concentration camps, in the World War, and in those situations, he was one of the few that actually survived and was able to move forward, even though he was treated very badly. It was inhumane. And he was still able to respond differently compared to many others that were there. And that actually got him to survive and to tell the story and to inspire many people with his learning, with his teachings.
What I really love about his story is that he was a psychiatrist who already had an interest in what gave life meaning. That's what he was already researching. And then he gets put in Auschwitz and gets a study research center given to him, basically, and gets to study close up what gives life meaning. It's incredible.
Wow, I didn't think about this, the book this way, yeah.
And that book's been one of the best-selling books ever of all time. It's a profound book.
Yeah, definitely. So we totally recommend it if you haven't read it already. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about your book. So what a feeling.
Yes. Look, I have written a book based on 40 years of research into relationships. And, of course, it has to do with gratitude. But I was 19 when I married a guy I didn't love. And part of that story is in there. But when I decided to marry him, I decided to try and make it work. So I started researching marriage and what makes it work. So I spent maybe 15 years researching relationships. And at the end of 15 years, we had a very, very happy marriage. We just celebrated 40 years on Sunday.
Wow, congratulations.
Still, thank you. Still a very, very happy marriage. We spend most of our time together. We work together and we just adore each other.
That's awesome.
For the last probably 10 years, I've been really, really interested in what goes wrong. Why, in general relationships, not just marriage, but in the general principles of why we end up with on two sides. Why do good friends, why do good families, why do good marriages end up broken and end up on two different sides and end up pointing the finger and blaming each other and each one feels they're right? And I wanted to understand the mechanism of what's going on there and mm-hmm. also how to heal from disasters in relationships. Because I think in the long run, if we look back over our lives, the things that are actually really painful are the relationship things.
Yeah.
And that pain often just hangs on and cripples us. And I didn't want for that to happen to me in two really horrible situations. So I wanted to work my way through them. Because people say you let go, forgive, all this, but boy, that is hard sometimes to do, you know, and you end up going back and having to forgive them 4,800 times. So I wanted to really explore this. And so I did over a number of years really explore this. And this book is all the things I came up with. It's a really eye-opening book. And what I really love about it, though, is that guys love this book. And I think maybe the reason they like it, because I didn't know guys would particularly love it, but, I mean, girls love it too, but I think maybe why, because I was trying to analyze it, maybe why is because there's nothing about gender in it. The book has nothing to do with men and women. There's no gender stuff. There's no kind of people behave like, men behave like this and women behave like that stuff. It's very story-based. It's very vulnerable. Like I'm not coming as a teacher with answers. I'm coming as a friend. Let's go explore this. And so it's not a threatening top-down book, which I think many relationships books are, that make you feel like you've got to behave like this and you've got to get to here.
Yeah,
this is more an exploration of why people do what they do and how to understand yourself better and why you're responding why you are, and to be more tolerant of why they're responding because you get why they're responding that way. And I think it leads people to a much less judgmental place.
Mm, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. It's interesting that you mentioned the fact that relationships are what hurt us the most. But the interesting thing is that relationships and other people are our best reasons why we are grateful. And
They are what makes life worth living. And I think a lot of the pain we have in relationships comes merely out of not understanding how we work. And that when we understand how we work, there's so much less pain mm-hmm. because we're not recognizing relationships with our insistence that we're right or our judgments or our harshness toward one another, because we do tend to love being a little bit judgmental.
Yeah, yeah. So where can our audience find your book? Where can we see your
book? Well, the Kindle just got put on Kindle today. Pretty exciting.
Awesome, awesome.
which is a nice little coincidence. So it's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's on Kindle. It's on my website for Australian listeners. And my website's tonipowell.me, and that's TONIPOWELL. .me. That's there. And I also have some other cool gratitude stuff. When I first was trying to come out of depression, what I wished for was someone to come along every day and tell me what to think, because I was so unfamiliar with thinking good things. And I eventually wrote a program that I call the Gratitude Adventure, which is 90 days of emails every few days with all this stuff, so you don't have to think about what to think. It'll do your thinking for you to kind of help you reprogram your brain if you're in a place where you need that help. That's there. There's, quite a few things I have there.
All right. So thank you so much for your time, for being here with us on the Gratitude Podcast. Do you have a closing thought that you want to share with our listeners?
A closing thought. I was being interviewed this morning on a radio station, and the interviewer said something like, what do you think has got you to this place? And I said, well, I came here through pain. And she said, she's been interviewing women who've achieved extraordinary things as part of a series. And she said, every single woman I've interviewed has said something similar, that mm-hmm. it's pain. And I think that this is such an important thing we overlook, that when life doesn't go well, when there is pain, when there's tragedy and heartbreak and grieving, this is generally the best place for growth. This is generally the real gift in life. And we so push pain away when really this is the place where generally the really good stuff happens. And I think we do well to not be so fearful of pain and maybe welcome it more frequently.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here with us. And
thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely to talk to you. Now I want to ask you all the same questions.
Of course, of course. So maybe next time we'll change seats.
yeah, I think we'll do another one, and I'm going to ask you all the questions.
Awesome.
I've got lots I want to ask you.
Awesome. All right. Thank you so much for being on the Gratitude Podcast.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.